Okay, this week's parasha, Rabbosa, we have parashas Matos Masei. Also Chazak, we finish off Sefer Bavimra this week. And we also, starting tonight already, we usher in 9 days. 9 days begin tonight at Shkia. So we're ready. Rosh Chodesh is tonight, tomorrow, correct? Only one day of Rosh Chodesh Av, Menachem Av. And there's a lot going on, a lot of feelings, a lot of emotions are going on. Sorry?
Do we have to make sure we use
our clothes? Yes, you should make sure that you wear your clothes, you prepare your clothes that you're going to need for the 9 days. You should prepare them already today.
What do you mean? You'll have to
prepare them means that you cannot do laundry on Rosh Chodesh. Starting tonight, ready, the 9 days kick in. That means that your laundry has to be done by today. And whatever clothes you're going to wear for the 9 days, that means not like undergarments or things that get sweaty.
But they won't do that here.
Exactly. All right, so you'll deal with that akuda. Let's get to the parasha.
Do you have to dress as less?
No, you have to just make sure that your clothes are not freshly laundered. It's okay. Here we go. Now, yes. Here we go. Abosai, in this week's parasha, so we have that the Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven, the tribe of Gad and Reuven, half of the tribe of Menashe, come to Moshe. And they say, listen, LG is life's good. Life's good means that life's good in Eivra Yardin. We have a great place for our cattle. We have a great place for our schools for our children. We have the life over here. We're not really interested in going into Eretz Yisrael proper. With the rest of Bnei Yisrael, we'll stay here. Gidros Tzon Nivne L'Bekneinu Pa. We're going to build places for our sheep to graze. There's pastures. There's tremendous amount of area and space. We're chilling, so to speak, over here on Eivra Yardin. Moshe absolutely erupts at Bnei Gad and Reuven. He gets so upset with them. He compares them to the Meraglim. It's like the Meraglim. The Meraglim also didn't want to go into Eretz Yisrael. You know, better than the spies. And he starts telling them, how can it be that everyone else in Bnei Yisrael is going to go into fighting Eretz Yisrael and you're going to stay back? And then Moshe tells them where they really went wrong. What was the real mistake? What was the problem of Bnei Gad and Reuven?
They put their money ahead of their family.
Perfect. They made the Iker Tafel and the Tafel Iker. They made that which was important and essential into unimportant, and they made the less important important. They first began to speak about their sheep, and they spoke about their cattle and their money. And life is good. Parasa! Parasa is good over here. Parasa is important, don't get me wrong. But it's not an end in itself. It's not the most important thing for a person in his life. And Moshe Rabbeinu, when he tells them, by the way, guys, when he lets them come into stay in the end, in the land of Eivra Yardin, so he says back to them, you could stay, but first just make sure that you have the emphasis on the right syllable, like my grandfather used to say. Make sure that you have the priorities in perspective. Make sure you understand what goes where. Make sure that it's not, yeah, it's great for parnasa, and yeah, whatever, my kids' education will be fine. You know, I'll find the school for my kids. You know, I'll find the shul to dominate. I'll make a shtibel here or there, whatever, it'll be fine. No. In life, on both sides, it's extremely essential for a person to have their priorities straight. And Moshe Rabbeinu was teaching the Gad and Reuven that if your priorities are not straight, if you don't have a clear order of what is important, what is predominantly important, what is the most important thing, what is secondary, what is tertiary, what's third, what's 1, 2, 3, 4, you have to know what's important in life. And what's important in life is not necessarily money, that's not the essential thing. And therefore Moshe, unfortunately, had to give Musar to Bnei Gad and Reuven and tell them, guys, you're missing out on what's really, really important in life. The entire Jewish world, Abosai, was struck yesterday afternoon. Late afternoon, I was driving on one of my, usually around 10 trips a day, between Beit Shemesh and Ramat Beit Shemesh. I was driving at 5 o'clock, I put on the radio for a second, and I was trying to hear how hot it was possible to be in this country, and I think it said on the radio that like there was no degree that was high enough to measure the degrees of heat that existed yesterday in Israel. It was so hot.
49
It was like 100 billion degrees.
116.
And I hear on the radio, wailing. Who's wailing? The name is of Nachum Eisenstein. Nachum Eisenstein is a very, very close Talmud, Eli Yashiv, an American Rav, came to Eretz Israel, was Mishamish. He served Eli Yashiv, Zatzal. for many, many years. He had an American accent. He was speaking in Hebrew on the radio. And he was just wailing and wailing and wailing and crying over the loss of Rabbi Yashiv. Just to give you a little perspective about who Rabbi Yashiv was, and I want to just use that as part of the continuation of that background of making the essential, and the less essential. Rabbi Yashiv passed away yesterday at 102 years old. He probably started learning when he was around 3 years old. And he learned for 99 years straight. And I'm not saying that with exaggeration, I'm not saying that, you know, with a guzma, I'm saying that in reality, that's his life. His life was two words, Talmud, Torah. His life was, I am learning. That's his entire life, his entire existence was learning Torah. There's a book that came out about Rabbi Yashiv a few years ago called Hashakdan. Hashakdan in Hebrew is shaked. I was shakud. Lomo Torah. Shakud means a person who's a big masnid. A masnid is a person who's, to quote one of the great tzaddikim, a masnid is not a person who learns 14 hours a day. A masnid is a person who learns 60 minutes out of every hour. It doesn't matter if a person is able to learn 2 hours a day or 1 hour a day. Or like Rabbi Yashiv probably learned well into the teens hours a day every single day. From his rigorous schedule, waking up every single morning at 2 o'clock in the morning and going straight. So he didn't sleep too much and he learned most of the time. So we're talking about an enormous amount of Talmud Torah. But Hasmada, consistency in learning, is not necessarily defined by how many hours you learn, how many minutes you learn. And Rabbi Yashiv Zatzal utilized every single minute. And that's why the book was called Hashakdan. It's a picture of him. There's many pictures of Rabbi Yashiv just sitting with his head on his forehead, pounding and pounding and pounding away, just learning Torah. I heard on the radio this morning, as I was driving back from another trip this morning, someone was describing a little bit of Yashiv. They said they came out with a book a few years ago called Hashakdan, this Masnid. He said many years earlier, before that, he wanted to change Yashiv's nickname to something else. Not Hashakdan, but Hashikor. You guys remember from Purim, Hashikor is a
drunkard.
But he wasn't drunk on alcohol. He wasn't drunk on wine. Maybe he went to the winery yesterday, he saw some wine, wine tasting, whatever. He wasn't drunk on wine. He was drunk on the Pasuk, he was drunk on a Black Gemara. He was drunk on a Pasuk Chumash. He used to wake up in his morning, his children described that he used to wake up in the morning at 2 o'clock in the morning, and they had 12 children in two-room apartment. Do the math. One room for the parents, the other room for the children. 12 children raised there. And his daughter described, all of his children married Gedolei Yisrael, or they became themselves Gedolei Yisrael. And his children described, they wake up in the middle of the morning, 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, and it was hot, they probably didn't have air conditioning. Just a good hot summer night like last night. Probably hot, whatever, rolling over. And they would hear their father at the dining room table, learning in song, in sing-song. And that was their lullaby. And when it was time to go to sleep at night and they had to fall back asleep, they didn't need like a lullaby, you know, la la la, la la la. You know, Rabbi Yashiv's background music, humming the tunes of Abaye and Rava and Ravina and Ravashi and Rashi and Tosos, and that was the music of the home. I heard last night, I went back from Levi at almost 2 in the morning on the radio also, they played back a recording. Of a few years ago, of Rabbi Yashiv learning Gemara and talking to himself in the Gemara. It was a few years ago. He learned Mamash Pasmud until the very end. He was hospitalized this past Shvat, I think February. He's been basically unconscious until he passed away yesterday, more or less. But before that, he gave a shir every single day. He was able to give shir, he was healthy and well, at 102 years old, still giving shir. Anyway, it was a beautiful hum. I had on the radio and you heard him singing like this beautiful, harmonious song, and like ask himself, what's the kasha, what's the teres, like humming. It's hard to describe. So he wasn't just a shakdan, a masnid, he was a shikor. He was drunk. He was drunk on Talmud Torah. I remember many years ago, I was zocher after my Shana Aleph. I was in Keren B'Yavne. It was January of my Shana Aleph. So I came to Eretz Yisrael. And my father took me to Rabbi Yashiv. And he had Rabbi Yashiv learns all the time. He learned all the time. He learned in the exact same seat, in the exact same base medrash for dozens of years in a row. Same seat, same makom, just different gemaras, just going through them. And Rabbi Yashiv used to take people to visit to ask questions, we get brachos, whatever, an hour before Shabbos. So we got dressed early for Shabbos that Friday, we're ready to go. We walked through the back streets, alleyways in Meir Shorim. My father and I got to there, and we figured, okay, yeah, let's, you know, we got there. There's like 10, 15 people waiting online already before us, like an hour and a half before Shabbos. And that, once an hour comes, everything is totally by the clock. His gabbai, his usher will usher the bill in exactly when the time comes. We got there around 20 minutes, half an hour before time came. What do you do when you're waiting for the usher? So you know what I do as a 17-year-old boy? I take my eyes, I go over to the window and I peek in. And I watch the words. And I saw, I remember this like yesterday, he was learning Gemara Bechoros. Bechoros is a very hard Gemara. It's Kudshim, it's not like a, you know, easy-ish Gemara, you know, whatever. It's a hard Gemara.
How old was he at the time?
It was around 17 years ago, so he was 85. He's sitting in the same spot as he always sat, with the Gemara open. And not just me, there was a window that you could see into his Beis Medrash. And there were literally dozens of people that were like, peeking in like me in the Beis Medrash. And I saw, we were probably blocking the sunlight. I have to apologize if we blocked the sunlight. I saw, look inside, and you see Rabbi Yashar there, right there, almost 2 feet away from you, right by the window, with his head in his hand, focused with total concentration, with his fingers on the page, and just rolling through the Gemaras like this in Bechoros. And I'm sitting there watching there, just dumbstruck, dumbfounded, awed. Like, there's no world, there's no people waiting, there's no clock, there's no nothing. There's one thing. There's me and there's Torah. There's the Ribbono Shalom and there's his Torah. And I'm giving you one small snippet into the billions of snippets of Rav Yashar's life that people know about and many people don't know about. Besides his Talmud Torah, he was a tremendous tzaddik. He cared for people like unbelievably. He gave up of his time and of his energy, of his money to help people out constantly, like all Gedolei Yisrael do also. But I want to just mention that in the context of what we began with and say the following thing. It's brought down in the holy books that when a Gadol dies, so we're supposed to try to, if we can, on some level, inculcate, take into our lives something special about that person. His traits, his attributes, the Gadol's attributes become like hefker, ownerless. Anybody that wants, come and grab them. Now, I don't think Eliyashiv became Rav Eliyashiv without a tremendous amount of effort. I don't think it's possible to become Rav Eliyashiv without a tremendously awesome amount of effort. But you know what? No one in this room or no one in the world is asked to be Rav Eliyashiv. But we are asked to do whatever we can. And like we began, Hasmada doesn't necessarily mean 15, 16 hours a day. If you become successful, please God, balabatim, make a nice parnasa, and you learn an hour in the morning, an hour at night, 2 hours a day, but that hour is 60 minutes solid. No batala, no wasting time, no schmoozing, no iced coffees in the middle and max cakes in between, and you know, and a coffee break and a Pepsi break, and by the time you turn around, the whole hour is gone. No. An hour is an hour. And during that hour, everything else in the world is dead. There's no world. There's no clock. There's no anything. It's just me and my Gemara, me and my Halacha, me and my Mishnah Berurah, me and my Chumash. Whatever you learn during that time, that's something which is possible for all of us to do. And certainly chizuk, certainly strengthening ourselves in our hasmada, in our connection to Torah, in our commitment to Talmud Torah, in our appreciation of learning undisturbed and uninterrupted in Talmud Torah is a great thing. And I think, if we want to know, what can we do for Rav Eliyashiv? He's now in the Olam Ha'emes. What can we do? I'll just close with this. When Rav Shach, Tzatzal, was Nifter, so Rav Shach, he had a tzava, a will. And his will, he said, anybody that learned something from me, whatever it was, should please just learn either a Mishnah, or a Halacha, or something on my behalf, it will be a Zchus for my neshama. Which is an amazing thing. Shach, but he's in Gan Eden. I think he needs Andy Yudin's Mishnah. I think it makes a difference to him. I think that maybe one of the biggest zechuyot, obviously we see that the answer is yes. So if a person wants to know, what can I do for Rabbi Yashiv? So I think that what we can do for Rabbi Yashiv, one thing, is to learn this idea of putting the emphasis in the right syllable, the emphasis in the right syllable, and understanding that there's an essential component of Talmud Torah in our lives. Understanding that there's what's really important in life Oh, it's less important. He lived in Yerushalayim. He almost never left Yerushalayim. He had, probably by the time he was passed away, well into the hundreds of grandchildren and great-grandchildren, probably hundreds and hundreds of descendants, 12 children, most of them had many children of their own. He almost never left Yerushalayim, ever. Because it was important. This is what I have to do. I'm in Yerushalayim, I'm learning Torah. Again, is that for me and you? Not necessarily. Are we on that level? No. But to understand and appreciate that there's important and there's priorities and there's a hierarchy. And I got to know what's yes important, what's not, what's less important, what's most important, what's least important. That's something we could learn. If we could try each one in our own ways to add a little bit of commitment, a little bit of appreciation, a little bit of one more push of Asmana, that would probably be a tremendous chus for Hashemah. We should be zochah to have Besuros Tovos, good news, and celebrate Simchas, please God. Halavai, the month of Av, that's being ushered in tonight already, will really become Menachem Av, will be a month of consolation for Klal Yisrael. We should be zochah halavai to speedily see the Binyan based on Migdash Meher B'Yameinu. Have a good Shabbos, boys.